Shabbat Shalom, everybody, and welcome again. Can't believe I have actually a human being here in the living room that came to be with us. Thank you, Toda Rava. Thank you for coming. And we know that we are, the subject of tonight is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, the beginning of the month of Cancer, the beginning of the month of Tammuz. And we know that we would like to talk about the sign of Cancer before we're getting into talk about this one of Tammuz and how we need to behave. So first, when we start with the word cancer, you know, it makes people feel a little bit uncomfortable. You know, cancer sounds like a problem, like a disease. But if you look at it in Hebrew, the word is sartan. Sartan, in Aramaic, sartan. Sar, la'asir, the verb is to remove. Tan, meaning bilbul. In Aramaic, meaning confusion. And the whole idea of Tammuz is not to get confused in the next 30 days. And we need to talk about it tonight. How to get out of confusion, how to get out of, you know, kind of leading yourself in the wrong places when your mind is going to the wrong places, if you understand what I'm saying. But as I promised, first we're going to talk a little bit about the sign of Cancer. So, the sign of cancer is sensitive, very sensitive. Whoever is cancerian, sensitive. Whoever is around cancerian, have to be very sensitive. Because when you say the wrong words to a cancer, it can be, the door will be closed for next time. So what do you do? What if you marry to a cancerian? How do you talk to a cancerian? Well, you can tell them what's wrong with them. You can criticize. But you can say, how do I feel about what you just did? So you cannot say, you're hurting me. You say, I've been hurt by you. When you do it that way, it will be easier for Cancerian to relate to that. But again, what's the purpose? I mean, what's the goal? Why Cancer are so dramatic about emotions and feeling? It's because they're controlled by the planet, the moon. And we know the moon is, I don't want to say unstable, full moon, you know, not full moon, up and down, every 30 days there is a cycle. So we're talking about that the moon influences us and influences our emotions. I know there is a thing that people think, during the full moon, you fall in love. Actually, during the full moon, you fight the most. If you check on your schedule, when is all your fight with your husband, your wife taking place? Around the full moon. Why is that? Because when we talk about full moon from a Kabbalistic point of view, the moon represents the receiver, where the sun is the giver. So the sun is the giver, the moon is the receiver. When the moon is fulfilled, what can you add to it? You cannot add anything. There's no room for creation. There's no room for doing something better. It's already fulfilled. It's already perfect. It's already okay. But when you are missing something, you can add something to it. So people in the sign of Cancer has to be sensitive. Has to be sensitive. The moon affecting the water in our planet. We are, some people say 75% water. Some people say 82% water. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But we have a lot of water in our body. And that affected by the moon. So you biologically affected by this. You're going to feel something. You could call it emotions. You could call it something else. But people relate to emotions. And for that reason, in the months of Cancer, all of us become Cancerian. All of us get hurt from different little things. For the wrong word somebody tell us, from the wrong idea that they promise us and it doesn't happen. We become a little bit of a Cancer ourselves. And for that reason, I highly recommend to all of you, during this month, not to take things so reactively, so personally. We got to change from reactive into creative. You know, got to be more creative about life. And if we do so, we get a chance, we get a fair chance to truly see what we're doing, where are we going. Otherwise, you know, if you look at the crab, which is Cancer, the way it walks on the beach, I don't know if you ever saw it, it walks sideways. There's no forward. Either right, either left. It's missing what we call in Kabbalah the tiferet, the balance. Going right, too much, giving too much, a problem. Going left, receiving too much, problem. Got to find the center. Well, this month doesn't have center column. Doesn't have the balance. It's missing that point. It doesn't mean that all Cancerian now not balanced. I'm not here to give prediction, astrological prediction about all Cancer. Because, of course, if you know, astrological chart is built from many ingredients. The time, the place of birth, the horizon, the Mercury, the Neptune. There's so many details. But Cancerian in general, sensitive, very sensitive. Now, what if you're Cancer and you listen to it right now? Well, the change, the transformation that you got to make in your life right now, instead of being so sensitive to what people say about you and how they treat you, and I just spoke about you, forget about that part. Let's be sensitive to the other person. And when we are sensitive to the other person, then of course, we can use emotions and sensitivity for the benefit of the other person. Then your gift become a great gift because you can use it for the sake of other people. And if we do it in that way, then we complete our tikkun, our karma, our dharma, whatever that we need to overcome. Otherwise, if we're just sensitive to ourselves, it's always going to be a person who's going to bother you on the road, in the restaurant, in your family, in Thanksgiving, in Passover. It's always going to be something that's not going to work right. But if you use your emotions, your sensitivity to feel the other person, that's incredible because then you can go and feel people and feel the pain. But if I'm feeling my pain, I don't have no room for feeling somebody else's pain. So that's in general idea about the sign of Cancer, and hopefully I will talk about it more. But I would like to talk more about the months. Let me see if I wrote it correctly here, and it stay wonderful. Yeah, this is my daughter gave me. You see, the month of Tammuz, that's how you said Tammuz, that's how you write it in Hebrew. See, Tammuz, Tammuz, Tammuz. Now, we know that every month is basically controlled by two letters. Those are the two letters controlling this month, Chet and Taf. The letter Chet is built from two letters, Vav and Zayin. In the middle, if you use your imagination, in white, you see a candle. See that candle? It's beautiful. Inside. And the letter Taf. Now, what does that mean? Chet and Taf creating this month. What does that mean? According to the Book of Formation, Sefer Yetzirah, written by Avraham Avinu, before the creation of the physical universe, God took letters, Hebrew letters, and with the Hebrew letters, he built a combination, almost like a DNA, almost like a what should I call it? A nanotechnology concept. Something smaller than physical. It was only vibration, because what are the letters? Vibration. So vibration that was creating something physical. If I would be smarter, like Albert Einstein, I'm sure I would explain it in a better way. But I'm dealing with Kabbalah as much as I can, and I'm here to explain it to you from the letter point of view. Tammuz, the name of the month is Tammuz. Tammuz means Tam, Nikmar, finish, Vav Zayin. The letter Vav and Zayin are done. So what are we seeing here? If we look at these two letters, Vav and Zayin is no longer. But what does Vav and Zayin even mean? Abraham is telling us in the Book of Formation that the letter Vav control and created the months of Taurus, which is Iyar. The letter Zayin create the months of Sivan, which is Gemini. So what is Vav, Zayin, the next letter? Chet, very good. What is the letter that controls these months? Chet. But why you give such a name to a letter? In Hebrew, the letter Chet means sin, crime. Why? I mean, it should be a little more motivational, like some affair. You call it chocolate, the letter. Why Chet? It's heavy on us. Chet means sin. And if it is a sin, what type of sin are we talking about? Well, the original sin, according to the Zohar, was basically two. There is debate which one came first. Some say the first sin was the tree of knowledge, good and bad, eating from the tree of knowledge, good and bad, a little bit in a premature time, meaning a little bit before. Second opinion was the sexual relationship between Adam and Eve that happened earlier. Okay, both opinions are correct. And for that reason, our universe, no matter how far you're going to go, you're either going to, if you commit a crime, it's either related to your food or either related to your sexual life. I know it doesn't make sense, and I'm not here to explain it. I have 500 hours of lecture that you can listen to, and it's much deeper there. But I want to relate to the letters more. When we're dealing with the letter chet, sin, in this month we get a chance to behave different. How can I behave different? Well, I said before, the moon that created by the letter Taf is representing something to us. The moon reflects the light of the sun. In Kabbalah, we have a concept called Or Yashar Ve'Or Chozer. Direct light, returning light. Direct light, return light. What is a direct light? Direct light in Hebrew called Ashpa'ah. Ashpa'ah means there is a nourishment coming from above to below. Nourishment of money, nourishment of health, nourishment of fun and happiness, friendship, true love, honesty. Goodness is keep coming down. But the rules are, if you don't have a place to address that blessing, that same blessing turn into a curse. So a lot of things coming down, I have to find a way to hold it with a vessel, with a cup, with a container, with something. How do I hold it? By creating Or Chozer, by creating returning light. That Or Chozer can happen, tell us the Tikkuni Zohar, in a few ways. Some call it mitzvot, precept. Some call it pray, meditation. Some call it gemilut chasadim, doing good to others, and other way of doing it. But whatever you do, it's going to be about the other person. I know a lot of people pray, a lot of people have yarmulke, some people have cross, some people pray 5 times a day, some people pray all day, but it depends what you're praying for. What are you praying for? That's the real question. It's not about you praying. I meet a lot of people say, oh, I pray to God, why is bad things happen to me? Well, what are you praying about? Well, I'm praying to get a better car. Nice, I mean, it's not a bad idea, it's a good start. But in the end of the day, I'm praying for me. So I'm adding more selfish meditation into my schedule. That kind of thing in this month, not going to do very well. Sorry. In this month, we have to look into praying for another human being. Praying for something I'm not going to get for me. Praying for my neighbor. Praying so I will find a way to love somebody that I can't stand. So this month is unique. It's not like any other month. It's giving us an opportunity to become like the moon, to reflect the light of the sun back, to be able to create Or Chozer, reflection all the way from me to others. And you have to ask yourself that question. It's a tough question, my friend. If you make money, ask yourself why you want to make so much money. If you're famous, why are you famous? If you're beautiful, why are you beautiful? If you're wise, why are you wise? All of those things can only be used to reflect on others. And if my gift is only benefit me, then in this month it's really, really can create a problem. And that's what we call chet, the sin. So the whole idea of the Tammuz, the finish of Vav and Zayin, is to get out of the me and to jump into the we. And I'm sure you're asking yourself, what's the benefit? What's the benefit? Why would I do that? Am I getting great recognition, money, thank you letter? I know some people that a lot of time when they give donation, they go to the to the mailbox to find if they get a thank you letter. And the thank you letter is actually fulfilling them. It's not a problem. I mean, we all sin at that, myself too. We look for some gratitude or thank you or some text from somebody. So, go, yeah, somebody appreciate me. Being addicted, yes, I did say addicted. Being addicted to thank you is not going to give us as much as giving without any expectation. And that's a true given. When I'm going out of myself, free myself for the need of recognition, of validation of another human being. If I'm dreaming of validation that coming from people, then I'm not free. I'm not having a life. So when you do what you're gonna do with the ojo there, with the reflection, you gotta do it for you, but not for you. Meaning you're doing it for your soul, but there is no benefit in it. More benefit that you're gonna look for it. Not less you're gonna get. You're actually gonna get more. But what you're gonna get will not make you as happy if you let go of that need to be happy, recognized, or the validation. So think about it like this. I mean, try to imagine time in your life where things are not going balanced. There's no balance in your life. No balance in the area of relationship, money. Something is not working. Something is just not moving in the right direction. And you try to do everything. You take courses. You study online. If you don't have enough money, you go on YouTube and listen to stuff. All kind of tricks just to study what to do about that situation. And you know you're smart. And you know you're capable. Still not working. Still not working. The balance that you want in your life. The vision that you want to have. The creativity that you want to achieve. It's stuck. It's stuck. This month, known to be by the Zohar, one of the months when we get stuck, unfortunately. There's 3 months in Judaism that the person can get stuck. Tevet, Capricorn, Cancer, Tammuz, and Leo, Av. Those are the 3 months, according to Judaism, that it's mentioned in the Parashat Shmot, in the portion of Shmot. When you have it, the mother of Moses, it's written, Vatetzpineu shalosh yerechim. She hide them for 3 months. Now, I know that Capricorn is in January and Cancer is in July. So don't try to make sense out of it. It's just, the Zohar is teaching us that those 3 months are negative. Tammuz is one of them. One of the heavy ones, by the way. One of the heavy ones. So, look inside of you and start wishing. How would your life look like? If you could remove that type of negativity from your life. Only focus on one thing. Don't focus on 50 things. One thing. For some of you, it's money. For some of you, it's health. For some of you, it's just, I want to be happy. I just want to be smiling. I want to dance like in an irresponsible way. I want to go back into a teenager age when I'm jumping and everything is okay. For every human being, it's a different thing. But try to imagine 2 things. First, where I am in my life right now. What is missing? And you got to relive it. Don't let it go. Don't shove it under the carpet for another 20 years. Deal with it. Deal with it. I had one of my clients called me today. Wonderful lady. God bless her soul. And she's a writer and she's a performer. And she told me, Eliyahu, I don't know what to do. Nothing come out. 3 months, I can't write. Nothing come out of me. I don't know what to do. And she said, I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. And I said, I know what to do. She said, really? What am I supposed to do? I said, this storm of I don't know what to do, that's what I gotta come out. Let it out. Let it out. Relieve. Don't hide the pain. Relieve the pain. Because pain gives birth to fulfillment. Remember that. Desperation is the only thing that gives birth to inspiration. If you only want to stay inspired, you're lazy. Desperation is when you're growing. Going up, you could be, it's not working. But the not working part, that's the actual thing that really working. The question, how do we deal with it? So please, in your mind, for a second, either write it down, or either think about it. What's in your life? One thing, not too many things, not working. These months can do a great miracle for you if you do it right. So what's in my life? One thing that it's not working right now, and it's truly bothering me, okay? Truly bothering me. Then ask yourself, how would my life look like if that thing that's not working will work? That's the second thing you have to write down or imagine it to yourself. One thing that you know, if that's work, what will be your benefit? Great. Now we're going further. The Zohar, the book of the Zohar, write like this. In every month, there is a combination of the name of God. The name of God The name of God, I didn't write the letter A, so I spread Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it's Kuf instead of A. So those of you who know Hebrew, so don't get confused. Okay? So the letter Kuf instead of the letter A, this is the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And you can see that doing the month of Eris, Nisan, the combination that create this month is Yud Kei Vav Kei Pashut. Simple, okay? When we come to the month of Tammuz, something very weird happened. This name appeared. What we call A and Vav and A and Yud, reverse. And where does it come from? From Megillat Esther, from the scroll of Esther when we read in Purim. Who is the one who said that verse? Haman, considered one of the most evil men in the Bible. And what did he say? He said, "V'kol zeh enenu shove li." So, "zeh enenu shove li." If you only look, if you're Israeli, you would understand it. In the end of every word, there is A, Vav, Yud, and A. So you have "zeh enenu shove li." You got it? If you didn't, later on we'll do the editing to the video, you're going to see it. So how is that going to make my life better? Kol zeh enenu shove li. What does Haman want? I don't know if you know the story of Haman. He was, have in mind, like so many people have in mind, say there is this Jewish Israelite, we got to remove this nation from the world. Impossible. Why impossible? Because the boss choose those people to be kind of in the club. What can you do? You can slap them, you can hate them, but in the end, there is a boss. I mean, we're not deciding what's going to happen. You know? It doesn't mean that we were chosen. I see a lot of Jewish people say, we were chosen. Chosen for what, I ask? Chosen for what? Not that you be chosen. You be chosen to do more. Not chosen. Okay, I'm still chosen. Yeah, let's open some sardine and eat. No, you're chosen to do better for the world. That's what you're chosen to do. And chosen also in Hebrew is segula. Segula comes from the word segol. Segol is the vowel that you put below the letter. If you look at the segol, how many dots you have? One, two, three. Not two. Three, what does it teach you? That you are the people, spiritual people, that look to do, to achieve balance in life. Not like cancer, right, left. One, two, three. Giving, receiving, balance, different. So when we look at Haman, Haman was unsatisfied. He has millions of people bowing to him as he walked the street. But he had this little dude, little guy, named Mordechai. This little guy, Morduch, he doesn't want to bow. I mean, let's ask for a second. I mean, there is a lot of famous people on Facebook, on TV, and outside there. I don't think they'll be bothered if 2 million followers will follow them and don't like them, and there is one person who doesn't like them. They wouldn't say, "Kol zeh enenu shove li." They wouldn't say, forget about it. Doesn't work. This whole thing doesn't work. No, they wouldn't say that. They wouldn't say such a thing. But Haman, who were into himself, into his ego, into what about me and myself, wasn't enough for him. To achieve the goal that you just imagined and to remove the lack of balance that you have in your life, we got to do something in our behavior change about it. And that's called either we are in the group of lack of appreciation, or either we belong to the group of gratitude. Gratitude is not what you say. It's not about the manners. Many people have manners. Say, "Oh, thank you, I love you." We become master of manners. "I miss you, I love you, oh my God, you know. Words, beautiful. I mean, if words add to the real action, it's beautiful. But if there is only words, then it's empty. We gotta start working on our gratitude for simple things, not big things. Forget about the big things. If you underappreciate the big thing you have in life, you still not have a gratitude. Go for small, little thing. Very little. You can go upstairs. You achieve that? Wow. And that's not a little, by the way. That's a big one. To swallow the food, you're able to chew and swallow. You wake up tomorrow morning. You did? Great. Time to party. You got to dance. You just woke up, right? You're able to sleep. Dance after you wake up. All those things has to happen as achieving gratitude. Otherwise, we fall into the group of the Kolze and Deno Shoveli. When you fall into that group, then the Yud Kevavke is reversed. And then remember what you don't like, this one thing you don't like about your life. Remember that part? The one part you don't like about your life. What if I tell you, and please challenge me on that later, that most of the problem that happened to people happened because of lack of gratitude. Most of the problem. I'm not saying all. Most of the problem. Some of the problem come from reincarnation, tikkunim, different issue, childhood. But if we add gratitude to everything, the Kabbalists say gratitude is a vessel for fulfillment. Gratitude is a vessel for fulfillment. What does that mean? Because this month is all about Or Chozer, returning light, reflecting light, like the moon. So we need to build some type of vessel to hold the good things I already have in my life. And if you want to add more, then have gratitude. There is a friend of mine, maybe listen to me in Miami. His name is Daniel. I always say this story in the month of Tammuz. And he teach me a lesson. We're sitting in one of the Israeli restaurants in Miami. And we order the regular, you know, the hummus, the salad, the thing, the pita, the same. I mean, we don't have really Israeli food. We don't. Israeli never invent anything. If it's Israeli salad, either from Shiraz, Iran, or from Lebanon, if it's with parsley and onion. It's very simple. I mean, we don't have. Falafel come from Lebanon. This come from there. You fill the fish from this. Israeli kitchen. But it's rich kitchen. So everybody love Israeli restaurant. You find everything there. So we go there. And the waiters, never meant to be a waiters. Never meant to be a waiters. Never meant to be a waiter. Never meant to be an Uber driver because she doesn't know what she's doing. So we order, let's say, hummus, if you know what it is. We're getting fish. And I'm looking. So Daniel, what is going on? he said to me, let's give her another chance. Yeah, they have this dish called hot olive. I like it very much. Olive that's served hot. I don't know if you ever tried it. It's a unique. I mean, hot olive. Instead of hot olive, we get a drink. And we're laughing. We start laughing. It wasn't laugh because we're happy. It was laugh of, it's ridiculous. And then Daniel teach me a lesson. And he said to me, we're going to give her 25% tip. I said, Daniel, come on. I mean, this is wrong. This is wrong. She will think she's doing a good job. He said, I mean, Eliyahu, this is not going to last. Stop it. I mean, we are first client, let's say second. It's going to happen. Today it's going to happen. In 2 weeks it's going to happen. So stop getting into it. From our point of view, this is our opportunity to have gratitude for something that is definitely doesn't need a gratitude. So later on, we will have gratitude. And he is my student or my client, whatever he calls himself. That's up to him. And I'm looking at him and say, wow, you teach me a lesson. This is so beautiful. And I remember her face when she saw 25% tip. She didn't know what to do. She knows she's doing a terrible job. Everybody knows she's doing a terrible job. And she still gets money for a terrible job. A lot of time in life, and I'm doing it myself too, we try to teach people a lesson. And we believe truly they're going to get it. But the truly, nobody getting anything. It's not, no, nobody home. So stop teaching people a lesson. Stop. When you have gratitude for a human being, it's not just to show them that you have gratitude. Because this example with Daniel is when you show them that you have gratitude. It's when you truly have gratitude inside and say to yourself, who in my life I'm not appreciating? Who in my life right now that I'm not appreciating? Now, the question is, the least is always the good people who do good to you? Or you have on your list people who bother you? Do you have people who bother you? So I tell you something. When I used to teach a large crowd, and I'm not saying you're not a large crowd, but you are a sweet crowd. Okay? We're going to get large soon. So I used to teach large crowd. So one of the things you do, you go into professional. I mean, they come and judge you and teach you and score you. Are you doing public speaking? Blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like this. In the end of the course, after 6 months, everybody has to write their fear. Every public speaker has to write, what is your fear? And we had about 25 teachers. One teacher, she was, her fear was a fear of fanatic religious people. That was her fear. She was Israeli from area called Kfar Shmayahu. She grew up very nice. So she doesn't like fanatic religious people. Okay, this guy doesn't like people who are picking on the same question over and over. So the professional basically put you in a crowd with 500 people. Among the crowd, you have all your fear waiting for you. They actually train people to scare you while you teach. And on camera, 5 cameras, on you to see how you react, how's your pulse going, how you move, how you deliver the message. Okay? For me, I said, I don't like when people get sophisticated, intellectual, university degree, and use it just to make a point. They don't even want to listen. So I remember, I mean, first the lady, she went up first. And among the crowd was 5 people holding a huge cross, the size of this room. It was in pieces. And as she started speaking, after 5 minutes, 7 minutes, they hold the cross and they brought it up like that. And they come to her and say, excuse me, excuse me. And you see her on camera, she shut down. She couldn't continue, but she remembered that's a test. Woo! And in the end, I mean, it took 2.5 minutes, and then she picked herself up and everything was okay. Then my friend got his thing. I was third or fourth. Then they brought me, you know, professor from Harvard. He said, I'm from MIT. Did you say the Hebrew letters has anything to do with the nano? And then he started to attack me. What do you know about nano? This. And I know it's a test, but it's tough. You know, I know it's a part of the test, but it's tough. So he take, when I saw myself on the camera, I'll start laughing. Then I met this professor, which was an actor. I mean, it wasn't a real professor. And I shook his hand and I said, thank you so much for coming. He said, well, you thank me. I just crush you. I said, well, you make me a better teacher. Why am I sharing this story with you? Do you have people in your life that cause you pain? Those people have to have gratitude, at least on the soul level, because I know it doesn't make sense to you. Those people can take you to the next level if you're not falling into the verse, because they are no shoveli. If you're not falling into the level, what's in it for me? Even the wrong driver on the road adds something to your life. If you look at life in that direction, everything starts changing for you in the month of Tammuz specifically into a level that whatever you thought is a misery, turning into a success. Whatever seemed like destroying you, it actually built you. Whatever is not working is actually start working. Why? Because in the human life, there is 2 levels. One, your goal, your achievement of your goal. For some of you, it's money. For some of you, losing weight. Everybody has a goal. That's your personal achievement. Then you have a second achievement in life, overcoming something. The overcoming something cannot happen when everything is just work right. You need something not to work to become a leader. You need something not to work so you can achieve the next level. You will not achieve the next level if you're stuck just by the people who said, oh, you are great. Oh, you are amazing. I remember when we moved to Florida, I had to give a lecture to 900 people. So I hire a person. I always hire a person, public speaker, professional. And I remember Debbie, my wife didn't like him because he has too much ego. Did he have ego? Yes, he did. He did. But he's good. And he always crushed me and humiliate me. His style was not the best, but I need him at that time, because it was building me up. And one of the exercises that he gave me, he said, you're going to teach the most boring class, but you still have to touch the people. I asked him, how do I know if I touch the people? So I tell you, under the seat, everybody will have a piece of paper. And you tell them, if you feel that I touch you, you take this paper and you cut the paper to pieces and you throw it in the air like this. And the subject was so boring. It was about the Sefirot, as of you know, Kabbalah. It's not an easy subject to make people motivated. It's content, mostly content. And I'm speaking, and 20 minutes dying for somebody to reach out for the paper. So maybe they sleep. So after 20 minutes, I hear my recording. I said, by the way, if you just to remind you, after you see this paper, for those of you who feel that you're getting excited, or you feel I touch your heart. So I see people reach for the chair. You know, they go under, and they hold the paper. And I see, maybe they didn't get the message. Say, well, if you feel I touch you, and something going on, you're supposed to cut it to pieces, throw it in the air. And they're still holding it. So, wow, this is not a good sign. So I start speaking, and I remember what he taught me. He said, forget about the benefit for validation from the people. Think about how you can give them. Think about them for a second. So at that moment, it was a transformation. And that was tough crowd. Just to remind you, it was between age group 65 to 85. Okay, that was the group. Okay, some of them come from old age home. You know, it was we collect a lot of people to motivate them. The subject he gave me was tough. So they're holding the paper. I thought maybe they don't hear me very well. I'll make sure my voice is loud. Nothing going on. And I said, you know what, Eliyahu, forget about you. Just touch them. Talk about them. I start talking to them. All of a sudden, I remember the first person cut the paper and do this. I mean, he has issue with the arm, 85 years old. He's done like, up, gone. Nice. And he was in the end, so nobody saw it. I was so, like, come closer, show everybody, you know. And then slowly, slowly, you see 12 people, bow, and here, and there. And I start crying. Touch me. What touched them? I asked them in the end. What touched them, actually? That at that moment that I start talking about gratitude and appreciation, actually to my father, which I didn't appreciate most of my life, they open up. They open up. And the reason that I have issue with my father all those years, because my father is he grew up orphan. I mean, no emotion. There's nothing coming out. There's work, go to sleep, survive. It's a different generation. So for me, at that moment that I spoke about gratitude toward my father, to find this few good lessons my father taught me. My father taught me one of the most important lessons. He said, no matter what you see, you never see the whole picture. So don't judge. You think you see it all? You don't. So don't look at people and think, oh, they're bad or they're good. No, just don't. Stop that. Stop being so judgmental. And he gave me that lesson, and it came out in that lecture. It's the first time I actually complimented my father. And I cry, they cry, we become family. And what I tried to say with this month of cancer, look inside of you and ask yourself this question. Do you truly want to achieve that goal that you just thought about, you just wrote it down? Is it like so important for you? If the answer is yes, ask yourself second question. Do you truly want to remove this one little problem you have in your life? One. If the answer is yes for both, then are you willing to make an effort to have gratitude for the people who are good to you, but also for the people that are building you? The one who's good to you, that's your achievement of goal. The one who are not so good to you, those are the people you have to overcome. And I'm not saying you have to be friend with your enemy and everybody you're shooting a gun, you have to be close to them so they can aim better on your head. I'm not saying that. Of course, use your common sense and logic. I'm talking about appreciate the things that are also not working in your life. Appreciate the things that are not perfectly work in your life. When you are in that place, then you no longer fall into Kol Zeh and Neno Shoveli. You're not falling into K, Vav, K, Yud, which is a combination of letters going reverse. You all of a sudden say, you know what? It's good. It's a blessing. It's wonderful. You ever been, your car ever been towed? That you come to look for your car and it's not there, happened to me. It shouldn't happen to you in Manhattan. If you park the car in Manhattan, never should happen to you because then you're stuck. Everything is inside the car, your wallet, your thing, it's gone. I remember, it happened to me, unfortunately. I'm coming, it's 7 o'clock at night. It was like 7:30 maybe. I was giving a lecture, there's some VIP person, famous on TV, and my ego went, Habibi, to heaven. I'm coming out like this.
Hey, I'm about to call my wife. I call what? There's nothing going on. And you're looking around and say, maybe I park. If it happened, you know what I'm saying. Maybe I park in the wrong block, wrong street. You keep looking. You don't figure. Maybe they tow the car. After 45 minutes, gone. No, you realize. You call. Call your wife. Call a friend. What I do. Then I have to go to that department to release your car. It's another arena. Like, it's keep going. You're going to be there till midnight. You're going to wait in line. They have to call you. You have to pay the ticket. And you have to pay the tow. You have two tickets to pay. Ticket of parking and that. It's about $500, you know, just if you want your car. And the people behind that window will not care about your story. Listen, my baby, I have to go to hospital. Very nice, very nice. Just pay and we let you go. Do you appreciate those kind of things? And the answer was, of course, not. Nobody would like to appreciate a moment like this. But for me, that moment wake me up to understand that place where I parked the car was actually legal. But I didn't see it's illegal to park there after 6:30. I didn't know. It was okay till 6:30. I didn't see the sign. We start to appreciate small little thing when, unfortunately, it's gone. And we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't wait until something is gone. And then we say, wow, I appreciate that. Don't wait for that. Because when you wait for that, unfortunately, it will happen. Let's go and get into the deeper meaning of more this month. All right? So we know that this month, according to Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, control re'iya. Re'iya means vision, to see. And for that reason, the tribe that controlled these months, it's called Reuven. Reuven, the name is Reuven, or Reuven. When you hear the name Reuven, it's come from the word Reuven. See, it's a boy. See, it's a boy. What kind of name Leah give for her son? Hey, it's a boy. It's a boy. That's the name of my son. Nobody called it's a boy to a baby. Ah, it's a boy. No. So why Reuven? Well, you need to know the story. Jacob is about to get married. There is a wedding. There is all type of food, European food, Moroccan food. Everything is there. Big party. There is only one little problem. The bride is covered very well. That you don't know who's under that fabric. What is, well, don't see a thing. He was supposed to marry Rachel. The father want to trick them, them Lavan. So I'm going to trick them. I don't get the trick, but that's what happened. He got the older sister named Leah. And he covered her very well, you know. And the first night of the wedding, it's a mitzvah to make love. That's the union between the vessel and the light. Union between the male and the female. In the morning, you wake up. Leah, it's not like today. You have a red light and light and I don't know. Kind of thing, it was tent. It was the four-bedroom tent, okay? What happened? So what if that happened? Well, we are not in the same level of Jacob. Jacob, with his consciousness, with his meditation, he could invite any soul he wants to become a baby. Jacob meditated, and he said, there is one soul I want to bring to this planet. His name is Joseph, Yosef HaTzadik. That's what he wanted to bring. And he knew the wife to bring that man is Rachel. He knew it. He was a prophet. He didn't know Leah will come along. So now when he make love, it doesn't sound good to her sister. Then a baby that come down, it's almost like to say, you look at the menu and say, excuse me, it's not what I ordered. And don't give 25 tip on that, right? It's not what I ordered. And the point is, for that reason, the soul of Reuven is Reuven. See, it's a boy. But what is that soul? It's, of course, it's most elevated soul, very tzaddik, very spiritual. But it's still Re'iya. Re'iya, to see, to vision. If this month is controlled by the vision, that means that within the word Re'iya, according to Kabbalah, you have the word Yir'a. Yir'a means an awe. Respect, because yira can be irata onesh, meaning
fear, consciousness of fear, and there is consciousness of respect. When you relate to the consciousness of respect, you elevate yourself to a higher level. What does that mean? When we start our spiritual journey, what is a spiritual journey? Again, I want to make sure it's clear. People sometimes get confused between religion and spirituality. Religion is when you look for God in the sky. Spirituality is when you find God within you. That's only different. God is within you. God is within every human being. That's why the biggest mitzvah is love the neighbor as thyself. Because I love the God in you as you love the God within me. We're created in the image of God. So God is within you. That's spirituality. Religion, you're looking for God in the sky and you're kind of scared if you're going to get punished. I remember I grew up in a kind of half Orthodox home, half home who don't believe in anything. Of course, the orphan, my father, don't believe. My mother, Orthodox home. So you get confused. So what do I do as a solution? I go to kibbutz. Kibbutz is a place that the style of kibbutz is called socialism or communism, something between. And you live like a farmer. You know, we grew up cottons and fish. It was big kibbutz. And you work hard. You work actually hard, but it's fun because it's together. It's all about being together. And I remember myself, I said, you know, it's time to check God. You know, all the time in yeshiva, all the time in Jewish school, they told me if I eat meat with milk, karet, you're going to die. You're going to die on the spine, and that's it. So remember, I took the jeep. I don't know if you know what watering, but I'm not talking about watering your little garden. I'm talking about acres of cotton, like acres. And the way you use the water, you have like long pipes like this, and you carry them or use the tractor to do that. So my job was to go with the jeep, to go that everything is okay. So I'm going that mountain, and I see all the sandwiches, and I never in my life eat not kosher. That was actually my first, I think it last also. And it was a cold cut with yellow cheese on it. And I was supposed to deliver this all the sandwiches to the farmer. But in my mind, my rabbi, in my head since I was 5 years old, you're going to die. So I'm looking in the sky. No cloud, beautiful. Nice June in Israel, wonderful. No cloud, no problem. I said, okay, turn off the car, make it safe, open the sandwich, and let's go for it. And I remember my first bite. I was panic. I was like shaking. Okay, Leo, this is it. This is where it's going to go. I made the bite, and I remember what I said. I was alone. I'm talking to myself. I said, it tastes good, but not amazing. That's good, but not amazing. What? Take a second bite. That's it. Nobody died. I'm here, thank God. Going back to the jeep, deliver the sandwiches. Why am I sharing this with you? A lot of time, you know, people are in the consciousness of fear. God, if there is God, if you believe in God, is God having fun that you're afraid? I mean, think about it for a second. If you're a mother or father, you would understand me. You have children. Do you want them to be afraid of you? Respect you? Loving you? Well, sometimes you have to go through fear, but you cannot get stuck there. If a child gets stuck to relate to the parents with fear, the parents didn't do a great job. The child might be afraid of the parents for a certain thing. You know, when they're 2 years old, don't touch the stove when it's hot. Good, it's a good fear. Good fear. But then you have to elevate from fear to respect. From respect to love. Three levels of change. So when we talk about yirah as re'iyah, when we talk about an awe as to see, to vision, to get the vision that you want in this month, you have to have some type of yirah. Even in your own house, when you walk around your own house, don't feel, oh, I own the house, I get whatever I want, yeah, it's mine. No, no, respect. Respect your place, respect the curtain, respect the floor, respect your shoes, respect your socks. Every little thing with yirah. And if you get to that yirah, then the nourishment that's coming down to you not only will be a lot, it also will be appreciated. And then when it's going to be appreciated, of course,
you're going to get to the level of truly the candle. Where is it? The candle within the chet. You're going to see the candle within the chet, and you relate to the Tammuz, Tam Vav Zayin, meaning you're going to be able to connect to that center column balance in your life. But I got to get into this yirah, respect, a little bit respect what I have. You know, my kids sometimes see me that if I take a fruit or vegetables, I cut the bad part, and then I cut the good part, and I eat. And sometimes, you know, I have a name, I'm too cheap. They say, why you do that? I say, no. I mean, I grew up like this, maybe my parents are different generations, so we look at things differently. And I'm not judging people who don't do that. It's just having a little bit of gratitude. Because when I see people just live life like this, they're not happy. When you don't have gratitude, when you don't have yira, some respect for everything, you don't enjoy. Think about it when you're buying a new car. Buy a new car, the first day is unbelievable, appreciate it. Unbelievable, second day, first week, second week. After 3 months, it's already, it's okay, drive okay. And you put the pizza pie in the back, it's okay. What happened? What changed? Nothing changed. My yirah changed. My attitude of respecting something in my life. I'm not talking about human being. I'm talking about what I have. What I have. Here, this little thing is clean my glasses. You can ask my family. They make fun of me about that too. But now they accept it. In my wallet, I have a little fabric that I'm carrying. For many years, I have it. I take it when I need it. Clean my glasses. I'm happy. Those things, this little thing, I appreciate it. What does it cost? 10 cents, 5 cents? It's all about the money. It's about the value. And then everything look different. It's rich. It's beautiful. It's working. But when we lose gratitude, we lose appreciation, and we lose yirah, then we have to relate to Perkei Avot. In Perkei Avot, the Mishnah Perkei Avot, Ketuv, it's written, Ezehu Chacham, Aroe et Anolad. Who is a wise person? The one who sees the future. Ezehu Chacham, Aroe et Anolad. Say Chacham, the one who figure out something in MIT. Why Aroe et Anolad? What is the Mishnah trying to teach us? They don't joke about psychic and stuff like that. You know? They talk about Roe et Anulad. Some people see it, and there is different type of behavior in psychology. There is people who act oblivious, meaning no idea what's going on. No yira at all. No yira. It's missing yira. There is people who are responsible. And there is people who care. Three levels. Responsible is not care, by the way. Not the same. Responsible means somebody is doing his job. His job. Once you ask him to do more than the job, sorry, can help you. I was in a hotel and Debbie sent me to rent a car. I'm not good at that. If there is the worst, I'm there. This is my number there. I'm not good at renting car. No. Either I don't have mazal with renting car or I don't know how to talk. It never end well for me. Never end well. I try. Under time, always problem happen. I'm almost nervous when I go to rent the car, but I know I have to pass the test one day. And I remember I'm talking to it was in a hotel, so you have a very nice fancy hotel. At the bottom, you have a place where you can rent a car. So I go to the hotel, can I rent the car? He's a very responsible guy, but renting car, sorry, not my job. Right there. You go, deal with it. So can you help me because I have a bad experience and I don't know how to fix it. I'm not so good with it. No. That's not my responsibility, Leo, but I will help you with anything you need in your room, cleaning your room, getting the extra towels, I'm there for you. Can you just, no? So I rent the car. With my luck and my wisdom, of course I rent the car. There's the issue. I don't even know what was the issue. That before I started, as I'm start driving, let's say I'm stopping in the light, the car will have to go 5 miles per hour for about 5 seconds, and then it start driving. So I'm going, and start moving. That's the car, new car. So I'm going back. The rental says, excuse me, but I'm not happy. I want you to know I'm not happy. And I went to all kind of school to learn how to complain. I had the issue to complain, so I learned how to complain. So they teach you to say, I'm not happy. So I use that thing. I want you to know that I'm not happy. The guy looked at me, sorry. So no, I'm telling you, I'm not happy. And he moved to another client. I think, what? What? Is I'm dead abused? I'm going back to my friend in the hotel. I say, excuse me, I was just abused. I want you to know that I'm going, return the car, can help you. I can help you with your room. So no, don't help me with the room, help me with the car. Nobody is there for me. In the end, we got solution, and we had to drive 2 hours. 2 hours to go to a different location where there is a car waiting for me. Can you imagine going to all of those things and appreciate it that this is good for you? What am I telling you is you're going to be three types of people in your life. Oblivious, responsible, and caring. The one who cares, there's not a lot of them. It's people who really care for you. There's not too much talk and manners. In the end of the day, they care for you. Hey, take this person, I want to care for them. Responsible, there is people like this who learn how to be responsible. But oblivious, that's dangerous. When a person is oblivious, that means they no longer have ira, the missing ira. The lack of ira is not there. The lack of consciousness, awareness, gratitude. I don't want to use the word fear, but I want to use romemut, and awe. That's the only way words I can find, an awe. Like they look at that, you wow, I have so much respect for this moment, so much respect for that. It's not like, okay, I got it, what's next? When a person doesn't have that, it's not that they punish others. They punish themselves. They're lonely. They're empty. There's nothing in their life. When a person is oblivious, what do you get for being oblivious? Nothing. Empty. There's zero. So I just hope for all of us, for this month, to get into places where we're not so sensitive for me, more sensitive for the other person. And this is a very, very important thing. But before we finish, I just want just a short meditation. I will not keep you here long, and I will not keep the people at home long. Just a short meditation where you can focus on that if you want. You know, you can put it here if you want. Chet and Taf, you know, the way you meditate, basically, just sit, relax. You don't have to be here. I'm going to put you even some light here. So just, you can put your left hand on your belly buttons and the right hand on the left hand. By the way, the belly button is a place where you can control your consciousness and relax yourself. And just think about one person in your life. One person, please, one person that can benefit from what you heard tonight. And now you, after this session tonight, will help that person. So just inhale and exhale about 5 times, as deep as you can. And now in your mind, when you think about that person, send them the energy of Chet and Taf, those two letters, building this month of Cancer, also the K, Vav, K, Yud, the name of this month, the month of Tammuz, the month of Cancer, to make sure that they can benefit from the energy that they need once they elevate themselves from being oblivious responsible and eventually to care, truly care about other people. Thank you, Toda Rabba, Chodesh Tov. Chodesh Tov means good month. Chodesh Tov. Thank you. Thank you for coming, everybody.